usually in training camp, they always go back to the basics. We start with the huddle, and you start in the huddle, and you start lining up all the things, how to hold the ball, how to throw the ball, all the things that you learn in football 101. The pros start it all over again. Why? Because if you're not clear about the basics, your chances of getting to the Super Bowl is very slim. And so they go back over the basics. So this week, as we come together in the morning, we want to look at the basics of what it means to be totally His. If you will, what it means to be a Christian. What are the characteristics of a Christian? And so we're going to camp out on one verse, our time together in the mornings, I believe. And if you have the Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We're going to spend a lot of time looking at that one verse. And we're going to try to find out again or remind ourselves, what is a Christian? Who saves? Well, we know Jesus saved. How does He save? And what are the characteristics of a person who is saved? A person who is totally His, totally belong to Jesus Christ. What are those characteristics, and how can we, if you will, examine ourselves biblically and be encouraged that we are? And then examine ourselves to see if we are, and if we're not, how do we get in? And so we trust the Spirit of God to take us through those truths these several days we're together. Well, let's just open in a word of prayer together. Father, we give thanks this morning that our God reigns. And so we pray this morning that You would, by Your Spirit, teach us. Beyond the sacred page, we seek You, Lord. We commit our time into Your hand. Teach us, I pray, by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 2:20. Let me just read the verse. Paul's writing here, and then in verse 20 he says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. This week, we want to look at four things from this passage. Paul is talking about a personal experience that he has with Jesus Christ. And if you will, I think this verse kind of sums up what a Christian is and what the Christian life looks like in its basic form. And the first thing Paul starts with, and the thought we want to have this morning, Paul starts with an identification. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Let me just say this. The Christian life begins with a new identity. A new identity. Well, why is that? Because when Adam sinned in the garden, Adam lost his identity. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when he ate from that tree and God began to walk in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam hid himself. Why did he hide himself? Well, Adam had lost his identity. The first thing that man needs to realize that he has lost his identity. Now, people are trying to get identity in all the wrong places. Adam lost his identity, and now folks are trying to get identity in various ways. Some try to get identity by possessions. Possessions. Why? Because if you're a rich person, everybody thinks you're important. So people think you can get identity through having possessions. Some try to get identity through pleasures. You know, they drink, smoke, dance, makes you happy. Music. Why? Their identity is in music. Every time you see them, they got something stuck through their ears. Why? Because it's music that gives them their identity. Well, some try to get identity through some kind of, if you will, position. American Idol. You know, football player. I'm somebody. Why? I'm a football player. When there's no football, then guess what? I'm nobody. Well, I'm somebody. Why? Because I can sing, dance. Wear my pants halfway down. I'm somebody. But that's their identity. How they dress, what they do, what they listen at, where they go. Their identity is all in the superficial realm. And they get hooked up in all that. Or their identity is in a peer group. Well, I run with this group. And so I'm important. Why? Because I hang out with this group. My identity is in the group. It's always something that's temporal. Man is trying to find identity. Why? Because Adam lost his identity. And in losing his identity, he lost his security. Man is insecure. So he's trying, or she is trying, to find something to make them secure about themselves. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a tattoo on my nose so everybody can be like me. I'm so secure, I've got a tattoo on my nose, and I want everybody to know I'm secure with my nose tattoo. And I'm saying extreme thing. Why? Because they've got secured in covering themselves up with something. Or I've got the new clothes, the new shoes, or the new ring, or the new earring for she-males. Excuse me. But the new earring. What am I trying to say? And I'm not putting those things down. I'm saying that is the thing that everybody, Wallace Francis, before he was a Christian, my identity was in my performance. I'm all pro. I'm this. I caught 5 passes, and I walked down the street with my chin strap in my pocket and with my Falcon helmet on so people can know that I'm a Falcon, or with my bubblegum card. Why? You want someone to recognize you. Your security is in what you do. And so that's the insecurity that people have. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things, but if that's what make me somebody, if that's what give me significance, if that's what give me my purpose in life, if I lose that, what am I then? So man is trying to find security in things. Man, not only did he lose his identity and security, he lost intimacy. He lost intimacy. Why? So he has no relationship with God, and he's insecure, or she's insecure, and there's no intimacy. They're trying to find intimacy. Boy, girl, 13 years old, they're trying to find intimacy. They're trying to find love, and there's no love. Why? Because they don't love each other. They love themselves, and I want this person to be mine. Why? Because they make me happy. When they don't make me happy, I don't love them anymore. See, so it's not love. It's something that makes me feel secure. My intimacy is that these people are making me happy. Insecurity. Loss of intimacy. But the big thing that Adam lost was life. Man lost life. Why? When he sinned against God, he lost life. Why? Because life is not something. Life is someone. And when Adam lost his relationship with God, he lost life. And that's why Jesus said, when he came, he said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Christian life is a new life. It's a life. It's not just a living. It's a life. And so man needs life. And so the Christian life begins with a new life. And so Paul says this, and we want to talk about identity this morning. The first thing Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. What is Paul saying there? Well, Paul is letting us know, or he's letting the Galatians know, that my identity is with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Well, the first thing is, my identity is with Christ. Where? At the cross. Get a hold of this. Adam lost his identity at the tree. When he ate from the tree in the garden, Adam sinned, and he ate from that tree, he lost his identity. And every person since Adam is a part of that family tree. Your family tree and my family tree is in the garden. In Adam, all died. For by one man, sin entered the world. And death by sin, and death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And so the whole world, the whole human race have a family tree. And that family tree is the tree that Adam ate from, and it's a tree of rebellion. So we are children of Adam. And in Adam, all die. We all, because of Adam's sin, came in the world. And then Cain, who was Adam's child, killed his brother Abel. And since Adam sinned, man and women, husband and wife, have had problems. You remember Adam sinned, and God said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard you in the cool of the day, and I hid myself. And God said, I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you was naked? Have you eaten from the tree? Adam didn't take the blame. He says, the woman you gave me. Now, he didn't blame the woman. He blamed God for giving him the woman. When you're in sin, guess what? You never blame yourself for your problems. It's always somebody else's what? Fault. And so Adam blamed God and Eve blamed the devil. And so you, a person who is not secured in God, when a problem comes up, it's always someone else's fault. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have stole that guy's computer if he didn't have it on his desk. It ain't my fault, it's his fault. I wouldn't have hit that guy if he wouldn't have made me mad. Girl, I would have spoken to her, but I remember what she did to me yesterday, so I ain't gonna speak to her. It's her fault. If she would have treated me nice yesterday, I would have spoke to her today. Well, my point is, it's always someone else's fault when I don't treat them the way that I know I should treat them. And so Adam blamed God, and he blamed, and the woman blamed Eve. Why? Because sin begins the blame game. And notice, it wasn't Adam blaming Eve. Adam blamed God. The woman, you gave me. You know, sin is so bad, you find people today, well, if God is God, why did he let sin come into the world? It's all God's fault. See, everything in the world is God's fault. Let's blame God. He shouldn't have created the world. I didn't ask to be created, God, so it ain't my fault. I didn't ask for these parents, God. And I didn't ask for these kind of parents. You should have given me some parents that let me do what I want, when I want, how I want. Okay, God, I'm mad at you. You gave me the wrong parents. Now, I know some of you don't do that. But the thought life goes that way. It's always someone else's fault. And so sin starts the blame game. Why? Because man is insecure. Man have lost intimacy. Man has not experienced life. And therefore, there's death. For by one man, sin into the world. And death by sin. And death passed upon all men. So relationships are severed. Problems increase. Killing takes place. And what you see in the world, it's a world of sin. Sin. Consequences of sin. And in this dark world, God sent his son. God so loved the world that he sent his son. Why? Because God is the only answer for the problem in the world. Man's problem began with man. Man's answer begins with God. Whatever problems in your life is a problem from sin. And the only answer to your sin problem is God himself. And so God sent his son into the world. And we know John 3:16, the Bible said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus Christ came into the world, and he came in the world born of a virgin. We know that. And he lived a perfect life, grew up, lived the perfect life, obeyed God's word perfectly, pleased his father in every way. God said, this is my beloved son. I'm well pleased. He pleased his father in every way, but yet he died on the cross. He kept God's law perfectly. He treated his enemies lovingly. Jesus had no fault. There was no fault in him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. There was no fault in this man, Jesus. Well, why did he die? Why did he die? Why is Paul so identified with this man, Christ? Well, Paul says this, I've been crucified with Christ. Why did Paul identify with Christ? Because Christ was God's answer for Paul's problem. What was Christ? Jesus Christ was Paul's substitute. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I identify with Christ. Why? Because he's my substitute. Where? At the cross. Let me say this. Jesus Christ saves at the cross. But at the cross, there's a person who is bearing the substitute, being a substitute for the sin of the world. Jesus Christ died. Why did he die? Because he's paying the penalty for man's sin. You know, in football, a person comes into a game and another person comes out of the game. Jesus Christ came into the world that sinners might come out of the world. And so Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. I identify Jesus Christ as my substitute. He is the one that came into the world to deal with my problems in the world. Let me ask this of you. Have you seen yourself as a person that needs a substitute? A person that have disobeyed God's law. Why? Because man's one problem is he's broken God's law. And Paul realized that, listen, I've broken God's law. The wages of sin is death. We say in football term, that's a guaranteed contract. Don't let anybody tell you sin doesn't pay. It does pay. It pays debt. Guaranteed. And you even get overtime. Eternity of death. Because there's a second death. And so Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. What? I identify with Jesus Christ as my substitute. Where? At the cross. What is the cross to Paul? The cross is a place where the substitute, the person who pays the penalty for sin, is at that cross. So my personal identification is with Jesus Christ at the cross as my substitute. The wages of sin is death. My sin deserved punishment. Jesus Christ bore it in my place. I'm personally identified with Jesus Christ as my substitute. He was wounded for my transgression. Let me say this, ask you this morning. Do you have a substitute for your sin? Or will you have to pay the penalty for your sin? Because there's only two options. Either Jesus Christ will pay the penalty for your sin and be your substitute, or you will have to stand in your own place. And Paul says, I identify with Jesus Christ. My identity begins at the cross. My identity begins at another tree. I lost my identity in Adam in the garden. I gained my identity back at Calvary. A Christian is a person that has a new family tree. He gets or she gets her identity at the cross. The cross is a place where God provides a substitute for sinners. Well, not only was that, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Not only was Paul, Jesus Christ, Paul's substitute, but he was Paul's sacrifice. In my place, condemned, he stood. You know, in baseball, there's a sacrifice bunt. The Atlanta Braves plays a game, and then there's a guy who's batting, and he bunts the ball, and the guy's on third base. And the guy on third base comes home, and the guy who bunt the ball is willing to get out so that the person on third can come home and score a run. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for our sin. He died in our place that we might come home to God. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I identify with Jesus Christ at the cross. He is not only my substitute, but he's my sacrifice. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. By his stripes, I'm healed. Isaiah said it. And so he's our sacrifice. It's an identity that another one condemned in my place. You know, in the world, I'm sure you've experienced it, in the world, if you do great, people praise you. I'm sure you've watched American Idol. You've got to sing well, turn flips, dance well, or whatever they do on the Idol. But only the winner who performs the best will get the reward, whatever that is. Well, in Christianity, it's not that we perform the best. When we were sinners, Christ died in our place. He performed the best God was pleased with, and he gives that to those who are willing to receive it. So we performed bad, but he performed good. And he exchanged his righteousness for our unrighteousness. He gives us his life for our death. His penalty, my penalty, he bore that you and I might be forgiven. Paul was rejoicing in the cross. Why? Because that cross was not only a place of substitute, but it was a place of sacrifice. It was a place where Paul saw that God so loved him that Jesus Christ died. You know, the cross, people talk about it, but God, Jesus Christ died on the cross. But Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I personally identify with Jesus Christ as my sacrifice. You know, it was said last night that Christianity is a transformation of a life. You know, you can know about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, but never personalize it. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. When Christ died on the cross, he died in my place, and I accept my death and his death. I identify with Jesus Christ at the cross. And so it's not only a substitute, but it's a sacrifice. He is my sacrifice. I identify with this man, Jesus, as the one who bore the penalty for sin. Why? Because I'm a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ died in my place. A hymn writer would say it like this, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? You know, in every religion in the world, young men and women, every religion in the world, man has got to do something to please their God. Christianity is where God dies for the creature. The Creator dies for the creature. God lays down his life in his Son, Jesus Christ, for man. And so Paul says, he's my sacrifice, but also he's my sin bearer. He's my sin bearer. He bore my sin in his body on the tree. Every sin that I committed, Jesus Christ bore it. Every sin. Amazing. And so God puts, Paul says, God put my sin upon Christ. And when he put my sin upon Christ, he punished him. He punished him. The wages of sin is death. And so Jesus Christ bore the penalty of sin. Let me say this, and I want you to think through this with me. Listen very carefully. God, listen very carefully, does not forgive sin. He punishes sin. I'll say it again. God does not forgive S-I-N. He punishes sin. He forgives sinners who accept Jesus Christ as their punishment. God forgives sinners who accept Jesus Christ as their punishment. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. God is angry at the wicked every day. He hates sin, and he will punish sin. And Paul says, in my place, condemned he stood. So Jesus Christ bore the penalty of sin because God hates sin, and he will punish sin. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ bore sin. Now, the wonderful thing, I'm sure Paul saw it. The wonderful thing is that this one at the cross is my sin bearer. He's bearing the punishment for my sin. Cursed is everyone that hang on the tree. He was wounded for our transgression. So God punished his son. Jesus said this, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Because if he doesn't forsake Jesus, he'll have to forsake Wallace Francis. Why? Because Wallace is a sinner. And if Wallace is going to be redeemed, he need a substitute. He need a sin bearer. And Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree. Sin will be punished. And you will accept the punishment of your sin, or you accept Jesus Christ as the one who was punished for your sin. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. I identify him as my sin bearer. He bore my punishment at that cross. That's why he gloried in the cross. That's why his identity was in that cross, because at that cross, sin was punished on his behalf. Identity with Christ as his sin bearer. But not only that, he was my Savior. He was a Savior at the cross. Why? At the cross, Paul says, not only he bore my sin, but he's my Savior. Why? Because God so loved the world, he gave Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Those who identify with him at the cross. Those who identify with him as not only was he dying on the cross, but he was dying on the cross for me. Paul says, I am crucified. I accept my death in the death of Jesus Christ. The Christian life, young men and women, begins with a death. What do I mean? Not only Jesus' death, but my death. When I came to Jesus Christ, I had to give up my life for his life. My life of sin for his life of holiness. My life of rebellion for his life of obedience. My life of darkness for his life of light. It's an exchange. Amazing grace. And so Christianity is a new identity. Paul was personally identifying with the person of Jesus Christ. One of the difficult things that your generation have to deal with is that the identity that God has offered man is being rejected in a country that rejoiced in it at one time. the cross of Jesus Christ is the glory of God manifest to a dark world. And you and I have to choose. Will I identify with this cross or will I reject this cross? Because the cross is a symbol of God's love for sinners, but God's hatred for sin. God hates sin. And the cross is a place where God is revealing to a world how much he loves sinners. But God is revealing to a world how much he hates sin. You must see the cross as a crossroad. It's a choice. At that cross, you and I make a decision. Will I accept my identity there, or will I turn from it and keep my identity somewhere in this world? Paul personally says, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so what he did, he got his identification at the cross. Ask yourself this question this morning. Where's my identity? Well, let me tell you where people get identity at. There are three ways, three things that you can get your identity in this world. The Bible says this world system offers you three ways to get identity. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So let me tell you, there's three things that this world can give you. The lust of the flesh. You can get pleasure in the fallen nature. Don't let anybody tell you that there's not pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. Sin will give you pleasure, but pleasure will bring you punishment. Why? Because the pleasure of sin always takes you away from the Savior. And so people have to die to pleasure. What is pleasure? Pleasure is living my life for my sake, and I want God to help me out and everybody else too. It's being satisfied with me, myself, and I. I told people before I was a Christian, I only had one problem. That's right, I just had one problem. I love me, I love myself, and I love I. And I hated all those who didn't love me, myself, and I. See, life centered around me. Pleasure. My pleasure for my sake. It's all self-centered. And let me say this, you're living in a world that's surrounded by pleasure. Pleasure in the morning, pleasure in the evening, pleasure at supper time. It's just pleasure. Now, let me say this, nothing wrong with pleasure, but there's pleasure that doesn't honor God. And so man lived for pleasure. And then there's a second thing you can get in this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. What is the lust of the eyes? Whatever you see, you get. More. More this, more that, more. How much is enough? More. So the lust of the eyes, all that you see. And the world give you many things. I can tell people, you can get a lot of things in this world. But I can assure you it won't satisfy you. It may give you pleasure for a season, but it will never satisfy your heart. And so there's lust of the eyes. And then the third thing the world can give you is the pride of life. Now, what's the pride of life? Inflated ego. Anybody know what an inflated ego is? I guess you guys don't. Well, let me just tell you what inflated ego. Prestige. I'm more important than the next person. Prestige. Well, popularity. I'm sure you guys and girls have seen where these movie stars win these Oscars. You know, the best movie, the best actor, they get the Oscar. And they're all excited that year. And the next year, they're sad. Why? Because if they don't win the Oscar the next year, they're upset. Now, they're not going to show it, but they want the Oscar. Why? Because to have the Oscar in 2012 is great. But I want it in 2013. I want it in 2014. Why? Because the whole thing is that it's the prestige every year. And so prestige, now there's nothing wrong with prestige, but if that's all you live for is prestige. Popularity, prestige, possessions. I thank God for this verse of scripture that I heard even when I was here what profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? In 1979, I was the Falcons' most valuable player. I had broken set all the Falcon receiving record and was the second leading receiver in the NFL. Ahmad Rashad was number one, and I was number two. And I had a 13-room house, 5 bathrooms, 2 kitchens. I had a national commercial and had a commercial with a Cadillac company in Atlanta, and I'd get a new Cadillac every 6 months or every 12,000 miles. Walk down the street and people knew you. But had I died in 1979, I would have woke up rich, famous, and in hell. Why? Prestige, popularity does not prepare me for eternity. There's nothing wrong with those things, but what profit a man if he gains the whole world? If your identity is just what you have, what you drive, where you go, who know you and who you know, if that's all life is, what happened when death comes? Now, don't hear me say that there's anything wrong with those things, but if that's all your identity is, then life is temporal for you. 70 years. Well, if you live 100 years, 200 years, Jesus said, what profit a man if he gained the whole world? There's nothing wrong with being rich, but if that's all you live for to be rich, you can be rich and die. There was a rich man in the Bible, a rich man who had, and Lazarus. And Lazarus had sword, and this rich man had everything. And the Bible says the rich man died. We don't even know his name. They just call him a rich man. But Lazarus was, we know Lazarus' name, but the rich man died and went to hell. And Lazarus, we got Lazarus' name, and he was taken to Abraham's bosom. Lazarus was a pauper, not known much on earth, but known in heaven. The rich man had a big name on earth, but never was known in heaven. We just call him rich man, successful man, professional man, or woman. Why? Because your identity, if it's not in Christ, you don't have an identity after earth. And so Paul said his identity was at a cross. I'm personally identified with Jesus Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I've accepted Christ as the identity of my life. Several things a person have to do when you look at truths like this. You have to come and say, well, can I say what Paul said? Can I say it personally? Paul said, I am. Can I personally, or have I personally come to accept Jesus Christ as my identity? Because sitting here today, your family tree is either at Calvary, or your family tree is with Adam. You either in Christ or you're in Adam. There's no neutral ground. You either have come to personally identify not only that Jesus Christ died for you, or that not Jesus Christ died, but you accept your death in the death of Jesus Christ. You have come to Jesus Christ and you said, Lord Jesus, not my will anymore, but thy will be done. I accept you as the Lord and Savior of my life. I accept your cross as my cross. I accept your will as my will. I accept your way as my way. I accept your life as my life. I exchange life. I trust myself to you. I entrust myself to you. I'm identifying with you. I was not drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. I was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. And I played there for 2 years. And after the end of my second year, the Buffalo Bills traded me to the Atlanta Falcons. In Buffalo, I'm from Louisiana. And in Buffalo, I saw white Christmas, white Easter, white Memorial Day. I was so happy to be traded back to the South. Can't stand cold weather. But in Buffalo, I learned all the plays and new things in Buffalo. And then when I came to Atlanta, I had to sign a contract. And when I signed a contract with the Falcons, that meant I couldn't play for the Bills anymore. And I had to unlearn the Bills plays and learn the Falcon plays. And then in 1980, we went to play the Buffalo Bills, the stadium that I began my career in, the uniform that I used to wear. Now I'm in another uniform. And I had to play against those guys and play for the guys in red and seek to that they win. Why? I was on a new team. Why? Because I signed the new contract to say that I now am in Atlanta Falcons. My loyalty is to the Falcons. My lifestyle is to enhance what the Falcons want to do. My whole passion is to not to remember the Bills play, but to learn the Falcon plays and to give myself to enable the Falcons to win. I was on the new contract. What does it mean to be identified with Jesus Christ? It's to sign a new contract. Not my will anymore, but thy will be done. I choose against my will. I choose against my way. I choose against my life, and I choose Christ's life. He becomes my way. He becomes my truth. He becomes my life. My identity is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And all that I do, if I eat or if I drink, I do it all for the glory of God. And so when I went to Louisiana, I become a Christian. I went to Louisiana after I become a Christian, and I came from a family that didn't grow up in a Christian family, and I had some brothers who were athletes, and then they were asking me, why did you leave football? I said, well, I left football because I become a Christian, and I start telling them. They said, why? Quit preaching to us. Well, I wasn't preaching to them. They were asking me why I left football, and I was telling them why I did, and I start telling them about Jesus Christ. See, my brothers, we love sports, and I was the only one made to the pros, but they were shocked that I left football, and I didn't choose to leave, but God gave me grace to leave to come here because he saved me. But they wanted to know why. It was not that I hated football. It's just that I come to new life. And God's will for my life now was to follow him and to come to this place to learn of him. And so my witness was not so much what I did, but what God had done. God had saved me. He'd given me a new passion. He'd given me a new purpose in life. And now he was more important to me than football or anything else. And so my testimony was not so much what I'd done, but amazing grace, what God had done. That the cross that Jesus Christ died on was for me. That the sin that Jesus Christ bore was my sin. That the suffering that Jesus Christ bore was he suffered in my place. And so therefore, I was wrapped up in my identity with him. Christianity begins with a new identity. To be totally his is to totally accept the cross as the symbol that guides your life. What is the cross? A cross is a symbol of death. Let me use it in this term. I think they use the electric chair. Anybody ever heard of an electric chair? If Jesus was here today, he'd probably say, take up your electric chair and follow me. A person who is going to electric chair, they're not coming back. They will have no decisions in this world again. When you take up the cross, you don't make decisions anymore. Your decisions are made by this book. You learn to live by this book. You learn to obey this book. You learn to love this book. Why? Because it's not the book, it's the God who left you this book. When I came to the Falcons, I learned the Falcons plays. I got rid of the Bills book. I began to live by another man. To be identified with Jesus Christ is to be exclusively his and his alone. It's not a law. It's love. I tell people, the hymn writer said, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. If he would die in my place, if he would bear my punishment, if he would destroy the works of the devil on my behalf, the only intelligent response is to say, Lord, not my will anymore, but thy will be done. That's the only intelligent response. Any football players in here? Raise your hand. If the Falcons offered you a contract today, would you turn them down? No. right? I wouldn't either if I was him. Why? Because to be offered a NFL contract is the ultimate. If you're a football player and you want to play at the highest level, it's a contract you'd be happy to sign. God offered you life. Everybody say, oh, what sacrifice? No, reasonable servant. Life? Yes, I'll sign on. Life. See, it's like a contract being offered to you in football. If you love football, you sign off. Why? Because if you want to play at the highest level, it's the NFL. If you want real life, it's in Jesus Christ. You sign off on the cross. Not my will anymore, Lord, but thy will be done. And I tell people, it's not sacrifice, it's reasonable service. The most reasonable thing in the world is for sinners to submit their life to a Savior. The gospel is good news. Sinners can identify with a Savior. Where? At the cross. At the cross. Paul says his identity was now in a new tree. I've been crucified with Christ. Tomorrow we'll look at the second aspect of Paul's experience from this identity with Christ. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we give thanks that the cross is a place where life flows. And so I pray this morning for all bowed in your presence that you would make clear to them the reality of the cross. For those who are not identified with your Son at the cross, that you'd make it clear to them and give them grace to come in. For we who have come, we ask you to enable our eyes to see afresh and to rejoice anew in this identity that you've given us in Christ at the cross. Thank you for our time together this morning in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.